Thanks for joining me for the final part in our three-part course on evangelism called Reach One. My name's Matt, and I'm glad to have this time with you. Today, I want us to focus on the importance of competence. We're going to consider some ways to talk about our faith so that it's clear and understandable to others. So let's get started. As you will recall, if you've listened to the other sessions, the first session was on confidence, and that really has to do with knowing the gospel, knowing the good news of Jesus, and first knowing how it applies to you. Because as we understand how it applies to ourselves, we'll become more confident in the love of God for us, the grace of God, and the mercy of God. The second session, as you'll recall if you've listened, was on the topic of compassion, and that really has to do with knowing how to apply the gospel to others after having first applied it to ourselves. When we know the good news of Jesus, we can listen and observe how others need the good news of Jesus, and we can know how better to share that with them. In this final session, I want to talk about competence. And competence has to do with telling the gospel. If confidence was knowing the gospel and compassion was knowing how to apply the gospel, competence is knowing how to tell the gospel. Peter is a great example of this in Scripture. Peter was a man who had tremendous confidence. If you listen to the stories or read the stories about Peter and the gospel, sometimes he's confident on the side of arrogant and trips over himself and makes mistakes, but he's bold nonetheless. As Peter knew Christ, he later became more and more of a compassionate man as he recognized his own need for the gospel. And so we see Peter not only as a confident man and a compassionate man, but also as someone who recognized the importance of competence. So that he writes in his first letter in chapter 3, verse 15, "In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. Are you prepared? Could you tell someone the gospel that you have come to believe about Jesus? Are you prepared to tell someone what the Bible reveals to us about God's love through His Son? That's really what competence has to do with. The best way to do that, the best way to tell the gospel, is by telling your own story of encountering the love of God, trusting Jesus to be your Savior, and how God's grace has changed your life by the work of the Holy Spirit. I can remember being at Lucky Baldwin's one Thursday night with a group who had come to participate in conversations about Jesus. And there was one man who sat across from me at dinner, and he was not a believer. He came with a cousin of his, and he came as someone who was curious about faith, curious about God, because of what his cousin had told him. And he had a lot of questions and a lot of doubts and concerns about faith in Jesus. And he and I had a chance to talk about those things. I gave him all kinds of reasons why it's possible to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, to believe that He died on the cross, to believe that He rose from the dead. But ultimately, this man sitting across from me looked me in the eyes and said, "Okay, Matt, you've answered all my questions, but what difference has that all made in your life?" That is an important question to be able to answer when we're telling others about the good news of Jesus. And so the best way to tell the gospel is by telling your own story of encountering the love of God through Jesus Christ. And I want to give you three questions that you can ask yourself in order to be prepared to do that. The first question is this: what was your life like before you came to faith in Jesus? What was your life like before you came to faith in Jesus? Before you made that decision that you believed what God's Word said, before you came to that decision that you did need a Savior, you did need the love of God that's been shown through Christ, before you came to the decision to trust Him, what was your life like? What did you trust in before you trusted Jesus? What was good news to you before you heard the good news of Christ and believed? What kinds of choices were you making, and how were you making those choices? What did you base your life on? The second question that would be helpful to ask yourself is, how did you decide to trust Jesus? While you were living that life before faith in Jesus, what was it that brought you to a place of faith? What were the circumstances in your life that made it so that you did believe or wanted to believe or sought Him out? Oftentimes, God comes to us, reveals Himself to us before we're looking for Him. Sometimes we can look back in our lives and we can see God's mercy and His kindness and His love to us long before we recognized that He was loving us. Maybe it was a friend who told you about their experience with Jesus. Maybe it was in a church service, or maybe it was not. Maybe it wasn't in any kind of religious setting. Maybe you were somewhere talking with someone or looking yourself in the mirror all alone one night at home, and you realized that you believed that you needed Him. How did you decide to trust Jesus? And the third question to ask yourself is, what's life like with Jesus? Be prepared to talk about that. It's one thing to say, boy, I lived a life that I'm really ashamed of, but thank God He forgives me through Jesus. Well, that's part of your testimony. But what's the rest of it? What's life like with Jesus? You know, if it was only about an encounter in time, a one-time decision, I think Jesus would have set Himself up in the temple and had one-on-one appointments with us to do business and to be made right with God. But He walked with His disciples. He lived with them. They were in relationship together. And Jesus said that He sent the Holy Spirit to be the one who would walk alongside us. How have you experienced that? How have you found the Word of God to be true? How have you found your faith in Jesus to lead to something new in your life? What was life like before you came to faith in Jesus? How did you decide to trust Jesus? What's life like with Jesus? If you can answer those three questions for someone, then you are well prepared to talk to others about the gospel. Before we're finished, I want to share with you one final way that we can help others understand the good news of Jesus. It's a helpful way of explaining the gospel by walking someone through a few key verses in the book of Romans in the New Testament. Romans is a remarkable document that explains the gospel of Jesus with a lot of rich theology. But by walking them through these just four places in Scripture, you can help someone understand the gospel in a nutshell. The first verse that you could share with them is Romans chapter 3, verse 23. That says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." as someone who is a believer, who walks with Jesus, you know this to be true. But it's helpful to talk with someone about the fact that there is a God, and He is good. He is holy. He's right. And because He is God, He gets to kind of set in place the standard of what is right and good. And there is not one of us that has lived up to that standard. There's not one of us that can look back on our lives and say, we never fell short. We never sinned. But because of our sin and because we have fallen short, that has created a separation, a break in our relationship with God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so staring us in the face is the question of how we bridge that gap. The second verse that you can bring them to is Romans chapter 6, verse 23. That verse says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so as we have been separated from God, as there is a gap between who I am and who God is, if that gap is not mended, is not bridged, then it leads to death. It leads to brokenness. The wages of sin, the results of not living up to the standard of God, is to experience death, not only a kind of final death, but a death of the soul here and now today. But God has indeed bridged that gap for us. What I couldn't do, He came to do for me. It's a gift. The verse says the gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. The good news of Jesus is that when this gap existed as a gift to us out of His love for us, God chose to bridge the gap. And how did He do it? He did it in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's why Jesus came. That's why God came and put on flesh and walked the earth and showed us His love. That's why Jesus was willing to let a broken world break Him and ultimately bury Him, though He did not stay in that grave. He overcame it. The gift of God is that through Jesus Christ, He has bridged that gap left by our sin. The third verse that you can share with someone from the book of Romans to understand the gospel is chapter 10, verse 9, and it says this, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So mending that brokenness, bridging that gap, God does not require that we somehow become something that we aren't, to somehow to attain to that standard on our own, but rather He just simply invites us to believe that God has done this for us, to believe that God has given us the gift of life through Jesus Christ, and to say, yes, I do believe that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is all that Scripture says that He is. And the last verse that you can bring someone to is chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. It says this, "Therefore, since we've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." That glorious standard of God that we could not attain on our own, we can now stand with God in His presence, do life with God, approach God in prayer, We can stand in this hope of the glory of God because of what Jesus did for us and because we simply responded to that gift with faith, by believing. That's the good news of Jesus. That's the gospel. God came, and he came to rescue us from our sin and our brokenness because of his great love for us. And what he asks of us is, do we believe? Do we trust him? Do we receive that? If we do, with our faith in Jesus, we're rescued, we're set free, we're saved from our sin, and we are saved into new life with him. So that's the Romans Road. I hope you find it to be a helpful tool as you competently tell others about Jesus. There are other ways to do it. There are other tools, one of which is written about by James Chung in his book, Based on a True Story. It's a really helpful way to explain the gospel using four circles, and you can look on our website to find more information about that. Thanks for listening to this series. Thanks for considering how to strengthen your ability to do conversational evangelism, to have greater confidence, compassion, and competence as you tell others about your faith in Jesus. Let's be a church family that's serious about letting others know the love of God that's been shown to you and I through his Son. Thanks for listening. Send us out and we will go. Send your power down, let it flow. Lord, take us to the whole wide world. Oh, we pray, yeah, yeah. Every tribe and every tongue.